This is a production of Cornell University.
UA meeting Wednesday, December 6, 2006.
I call the meeting to order. Thank you. We do not have minutes that are still being typed up, so those will be with us for our next meeting in January. First thing we want to go over is committee reports. So, where's CJ Speed, I think.
Can you pass that around us?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what I thought. Well, we had a meeting
That I am.
On Tuesday, the chair of the CJC had a meeting with the principal members of the working group at President's Court of Appeals. And we developed a memorandum of understanding, which was accepted by all. That you're getting into that right now. Is there enough on this side or not?
I have two questions.
It's the same thing that's in our.
Oh, you have it? Well, it's a little different, but it has 50 days.
Oh.
Oh, no, you got it on the day. Anyway, the memorandum says basically something that we thought was a necessary preliminary for us engaging in any work charge that we were charged to do by the assembly, which was to say that anything that we did really would have standing, that wouldn't be just advisory, but that it would actually have legislative standing, or at least it would be part of the legislative process that's in place with the University Assembly. That, in other words, we would be doing our job as a committee for the University Assembly to provide advice about possible revisions, which the University Assembly would all act upon, as opposed to just gathering community input that could then go to the administration for its decision through its working group. And so the memorandum then states that, as it reads, and I'll pause here to ask if there are any questions about the memorandum. You've all read it.
Can the President rescind his delegation to the UA?
Can what?
Can the President rescind his delegation?
Yeah, that point was debated, and it was established, and we agree in looking at the charter that it's the case that the President can unilaterally act with the Board of Trustees to rescind any aspect of the legislation for the University Assembly, but that would take a movement on the part of the President to do so. That is, the President could abolish the University Assembly by act of by going to the trustees. So yes. And so there was a point of debate in the University Assembly Charter. It says by delegation from the President that, by the way, the role of the CJC, or at least excuse me, the role of the University Assembly over the Campus Code of Conduct is defined in the first item under the first article of the charter, which you probably know being members of the University Assembly, but it's useful to remind everybody of that, because that obviously is the most was important enough that it became number one on the agenda of legislation. But it says that the University Assembly, by delegation from the President, will have legislative authority. In the course of the discussion with the working group, the question was raised whether the Krauss report could be considered a delegation by the President, and therefore what comes out of it supersedes the delegation of the authority to the UA. And we raised the point in rebuttal of that postulation, I guess, that in fact we're not there to argue legal points about what constitutes a delegation, but just to get a simple agreement with the working group that in fact current practice does operate in this area, and that in other words that we were not prepared to argue with anybody that the Krauss report constitutes a superseding of the UA legislative authority in the area. We weren't prepared to argue it because we only wanted to know whether folks agreed with the, and they did. They agreed. So that's a long answer to your question. Any others? Well, okay, so the next step then was to, having gotten this agreement, to have a meeting with the CJC. And we did today from 1 until 3, and the committee now is beginning to formulate its plan to evaluate the code, or to evaluate in the light of the Krauss report, the code, and the judicial system, and it will be gathering opinion as the assembly asked it to. In the following way, through blogs that will be set up through the generous assistance of the Office of Assembly, and those blogs will be focused in ways that the CJC has determined are the crucial ways to gather, or to the crucial areas in which to discuss the code. And those were independence of the judicial system, the right to amend the system, and to the right to the independence of the judicial system, and then the independence of the process of shaping the judicial system, which or the code, which right now rests with the UA, and then the third is the coverage of the code, both in terms of people. As who in the community is covered, and in terms of place, that is where the code operates. And we'll be gathering opinion on all issues that were brought up in the Krauss report, according to the 12 points that Barbara Krauss nicely summarized in her letter of delivery of the revised code. Those 12 points. I include the ones that I just gave you, the three prime areas in which we'll be working, and then other points such as right to remain silent and others. But we want to we established, at least in the committee, that we could not by any stretch of the imagination deal with all 12 points before March 7th. And we felt that the fundamental points that we just described to you would be workable, and also the prime ones to be discussed, because they lay the groundwork should they be agreed upon by the community and passed to you, and should you agree upon them. That lays the groundwork for a more prudent and timely working through of all of the other more nitty-gritty code-related issues that and judicial system-related issues that are raised in the other of the 12 points that Barbara Krauss identifies as contrasting between current and surface codes. Any questions about that? Yeah.
Just a couple of things. One, when you say a system of blogs, I mean, how are you going to solicit sort of input via the blog?
Right. Well, that was a matter of discussion at the end. It's felt that this is so near the end of the semester that to circulate to by email to all of the campus community now a request for comment on these various issues via blogs would be counterproductive because it would get lost or it would not be. So we're setting a target of mid-January to circulate in what means is not yet completely clear, but possibly through a general announcement to the whole community via the email system that Cornell would make available to us and the UA would authorize us to your various constituencies, I guess you could say, to consider these three prime issues, but consider any other ones that are brought up and comment upon them before the middle of February. And then we will be sifting through those, as will with the assistance once again of the Office of the Assembly and compiling the responses and discussing the responses in committee between then and the target date of March 7th for us rendering an opinion to you folks about those three principal areas that I identified.
There was in the charge
that it was recommended or at least encouraged. At this point, we invited all the heads of assemblies to our meeting today, and nobody came from the heads of the assembly. But that's not to say that everybody's very busy. We were also asked to add members as ad hoc members, non-voting, of the working group, and we spoke with members of the working group at this meeting the day before, and they said that they didn't care to be ad hoc members, that they were perfectly happy to proceed in whatever way was appropriate to us being able to fulfill our role as we had defined it in the memorandum of understanding. And they even went so far as to say they would be helpful in facilitating at our behest, I guess is the way Connie Bruce put it, any of our efforts in accomplishing what we had set out as our task. So as far as the members of the assembly are concerned. I have a group of people who are interested in becoming ad hoc voting members from faculty. Perhaps others from students are, but because we were only encouraged, one of the things that we will want to discuss in committee is how much having actual ad hoc participation that is not just community members coming in and talking with us during public time. Would add to our ability to deliberate as voting members and how much it would curtail our ability to make concrete decisions to get accomplished in the short period of time that we have what we need to get accomplished. So I think what we tried to develop in this blogging system, and I should mention one other thing, we have probably in the works, I say probably because we haven't firmed up every part of it, but we expect to have a second and much larger forum, much larger in the sense of a wider publicity, perhaps in Willard State Hall Memorial Room, somebody mentioned, the first week of February, for everybody to come and talk through from all sectors of the community. We want to make it relate enough that employees will be able to come and not have to leave their jobs. And things of that sort. I know that this issue is going to be brought up at the Faculty Senate next Wednesday, and I expect there'll be some faculty discussion about what role they want to play in voicing opinion. There's been lots of faculty opinion that's come to me through various channels and just to me because I'm on various lists. And I would hope that both assembly members, but particularly CJC members who will represent different areas of the community, because the CJC is broadly representative, of the community would feel free to be points of contact for opinions from their respective sectors of the campus community.
Has everyone thought, I know that Bob Krause is no longer with Cornell, but he is still in New York State.
Well, we talked about that in the CJC, and folks were saying that Barbara Krause had a lot to say, and we don't yet have any questions that really would require her to comment any further than what she has said already, but not that we resent her saying it necessarily, but that when we have the questions, it would make sense to contact her as opposed to just say, come and talk to us. We really feel under pressure to do something significant that takes community input, and we don't want to get sidetracked by having debates about issues of process of how the report was put together or who information was gathered from, things of that sort at this point.
No, not having to talk about the process, but talk about the issue that she, the substance of the report.
If when we have questions, we will ask her, I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, wait, I don't know. Did you have one? You do.
Did you discuss with the members of the working group, or did you have any sense that what happens if on March 7th, CJC says, roughly these code the same, then I refer to U.S. says, roughly these code the same, what will the president bring to the substitute then?
Right. I have my minutes from that meeting. I can try and remember them, but the minutes haven't been approved by everybody in the working group, and I had some revisions along that very point, because the point that was raised, the point was raised that, in fact, put it in all sense, I don't know what you should name it with, but if nothing comes of all this, then, why wouldn't the president very well say, we have to do something, I'll take it to the trustee. And I think I responded was, the CJC has been processing revisions to the code for all the 10 years I've been on it. So we will have no situation in which nothing in the way of revisions will come to the president in the way of revisions. What we won't have is a complete vetting of all the issues raised in the Krause report, because that's not, it's not prudent for us between now and April 7th, or us March 7th and you April 7th, to vet all the issues, all 12 of those issues raised in the Krause report. So what we put on the record, I guess you could say, is that we expect to be able to have significant campus sentiment gathered to bring to you folks to act upon these three issues that I brought up, which is independence of the judicial system. Now you've got me frozen. I can tell you coverage of the judicial code and judicial system, which is personal coverage and place coverage. And the third? Who and where, that's the third. But the first is independence of judicial administrator, and should the UAS, that's jurisdiction, that is who controls the system. Not the two are related, the independence of the judicial administrator and who controls the system, but they are very different, because who controls the system is presently in the hands of the UA, and Barbara Krause's report says to take it out of the hands and put it in the dean of students' office, right? The independence of the judicial administrator is separate from that, because one can imagine the system could be controlled there, but the judicial administrator could be a separate office. So we wanted to make some statement about that. And then the third is who is they're subtly selfless, but I can't enumerate them all now. So we're going to have something significant to say about that to you, and you're going to have some opportunity to make your statement about it too. Any other? Yeah. Yes, but the president
can ask them or not ask them, but the authority for you to
right.
through the president. Also, the related question is, the president may take a proposal to the trustees about this kind of scope. The county university simply sends some uncertainty to the necessary directly to the trustees also. And or give it to the student or faculty employees the trustees.
Oh, I really don't know. I don't know anything about that side of things. The first part of things is, as far as I read the legislation, yes, the Board of Trustees voted to give the UA the power to do this. And the UA, by delegation from the President, has the authority over those aspects of conduct of members of Cornell University now covered by the campus code. And the President, the point that I think was hashed out in this meeting was, and in fact I had in the original memorandum was the statement that according to existing university legislation, the UA is the sole body that's empowered to initiate revisions to the code and judicial system, and it was called to my attention that it's not the sole, that in fact it's the appropriate one, but in fact the trustees also can initiate revisions to the code and judicial system, but that would take an act of the president literally going to the trustees and saying this can't be any longer, and it would take a stand, in other words, rather than just saying that the process, you know, is okay, we're just doing it and that's it, you know. Now speaking about this is not related to specifically the code, okay. But it's related to something that Ellis had to say early on about this whole point. If the UA is having its prerogatives and its responsibilities in the area of transportation or religious work and so forth.
Well, let's right now just stick to the campus code of conduct. Yeah, let's just stick with that right now.
Okay. They can do the same thing with code, too.
Okay.
But I'm saying that in order to do that with the code, this, I think, document or anything that you want to accept would make it necessary to actually take action that the trustees would have to ratify.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, one of the emails that came out last week is that I was sort of requested that on the agenda the legislative authority in our charter 1.1 or 1.3 be discussed by the UA, and whether we have exclusive legislative authority or whether what a legislative authority means in those sections of the charter. So I think it would be more appropriate to, you know, maybe discuss it in the UA at some point on the agenda for your time tonight or at
Let's put that back if we can to our January meeting. I guess we missed that in discussing what was going to go on this agenda. So I think it would actually help if we brought those all with us.
Okay, because I also requested the academic integrity also be added to the agenda.
Okay.
Okay. Also not
on
the agenda this week.
Okay. Okay. We've been putting this together. We missed that, so we'll stick that on the January agenda.
With the three items that CJ will look into with the time constraint. Will CJC look at the other nine items in the future or not?
Well, yeah, that's what our job is. I mean, but it's not our job under a gun because a report has been delivered. It's our job because that's what, you know, we're empowered
just
to
do. Just in terms of time frame, though, just roughly, mm-hmm. would that be in the fall semester of 2007?
There's 12 items, and I mean, it depends on part what emerges in terms of suggestions and for revisions to the current code for just the ones that we brought up. You know, this is a tough thing just to.
Okay.
I mean, look, deciding on what constitutes harassment was part of the agenda for four of our meetings for 4 months in a row. Now. I'm saying that to you not because I think we were sitting on our bums and not doing anything. I'm saying that because those are complicated issues, and that in order to, we have to gather, you know, opinions from different places. We have to gather legal opinions, And we want to make sure we do the right thing for the rights and responsibilities of the members of the community. So if we were to say, yeah, we'll take all 12 and we'll do them all now, I think we wouldn't be discharging our responsibility, of property. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, although I wasn't saying that. I was just saying
okay.
It's a fall semester.
Okay, we're going to start in the fall semester, certainly, with things like right to remain silent and other things that are hot button issues.
Thank you.
However, that would only occur if, in fact, the president did not accept the part of the Krauss report that removes the code from the UA.
Understood.
Okay, so, you know, I mean, it may turn out that there's nothing for it. There is no more CJC.
Mm-hmm.
But was it your feeling from talking to the working group that anybody was in favor? I know there are some people associated with the working group who feel this way, but I haven't met a single person or got a single letter where someone says, oh, yeah, let's remove the JA, the independence of the JA and stick them in the Dean of Students' office. I mean, not wishing to put the cart before the horse,
I
have this general impression that we're all here in the UA because we like representative government. I can't imagine that we would write a report in April saying, oh, yeah, let's throw away representative government. I mean, theoretically, we could write the report right now, because I have a feeling I know what it's going to say. So, okay, fine. But
you
talk to members of the working group.
You charged us to gather community input.
Oh, no. I understand that.
I'm not being argumentative here. I'm just saying that I felt like we weren't in a position to poll people in the working group to see what they felt about the crowd.
Okay, I just thought they might have mentioned it. That's all.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, we didn't get into that. I just think that as a part, what I see is a trajectory of leadership and administrative versus democratization processes. The UA should be vigilant because not because there are nefarious people or forces at work, but because it, as I, Pache, what you were saying, but as you outlined in your original report, things have been eroded, and the question is, they're not necessarily eroded because of venality. They're eroded because people don't, keep abreast of democratic processes and exercise their rights. So in my sense, all I'm interested in doing with the CJC and on the CJC is making sure that things get done in a way that takes into account people's opinions.
Any more questions?
I want to say sometimes things may get eroded because people are such good administrators. Like Frank Rhodes might have been such a nice, benevolent dictator that really sought so many people's views that there was no need to be vigilant. But then presidents turn over and Hunter Rollins came in. And he was a complete autocrat. And then we had Jeff Lehman come. And we saw then how the Board of Trustees can have presidents come and go. So I think if we aren't vigilant, we really will lose any representational government.
Any more questions or statements on what the CJC did today?
Well, I have one question to you.
Okay.
And that is, I would really like to be somewhere, the CJC would, I speak it this way, be in the loop as far as what the UA is doing in these areas of the code and what opinions are being formed and worked on, for example. Not that I want to be a part of every communication that comes from the UA in your listserv, but if there are any things that the UA is working on, either privately between members or that have to do with your perspectives on what it is we're doing and what it is being debated in the campus code dialogue, I think we should be aware of them. Because we don't want to be blindsided and give you a report which then, by various negotiations amongst yourselves, you decide is something you don't want.
That makes sense. We'll
Thank
make
you.
That happen. Thank you very much, Marty.
Thank you.
Moving on to old business, a recap of the forum. I'd start by saying I thought Jules did a wonderful job of chairing that meeting. those meetings can easily get out of hand very, very quickly. I thought it was really nice that we had that many people come out to talk about their feelings about the Krauss report, to see that there's that much input and energy and interest in the campus code of conduct. And I thought it was wonderful that President Scorton took the time out of his schedule to come out and listen to the comments firsthand, as opposed to seeing a transcript or hearing what someone else said. Does anyone else have any comments?
Yeah, I think we need to invite President Scorton to come to one of our meetings so we can talk to him directly and find out exactly where he stands, instead of second guessing what he may or might not do or interpret what he says or doesn't say. I think we need to talk to him directly and ask him some tough questions.
Okay. Anyone else have any comments? Seeing none, moving right along. The discussion of the timeline for the Krauss report. Marty kind of went over some of that as far as putting up a blog, working with the CJC to get, if you're part of the constituency, to get your information to the constituency, from your constituency to the CJC, so they can turn around a report by March 7th to give them time to write it, to get it back to us so we can approve it and send it through the appropriate channel.
How about on that timeline, we invite President Scorton for the next meeting?
Okay.
That's what I'm
thank okay. you.
So I just joined the CJC, and I'm wondering, how long will it take the UA to review what we produce on March 7th? Right now, we have a month. And some people on the CJC today were thinking that the Krauss report came out like in May, but we only really found out that, like, Scorton was looking to push this through a couple weeks ago. And some people on the CJC feel that this is like, you know, there's these 12 points, some are more contentious than others, and we're just trying to like bite off the biggest three between today and March 7th. It's busy between now and then, and everybody's out of town for half of it. Is there any way March 7th could be moved up? Speaking as one person on the CJC and not the whole thing.
Moved up so that you want the report due early, like sometime in February?
Later.
No, later. Later, okay,
later. Because if April 7th is when the UA needs to give it to Scorton, and March 7th is when we are giving it to the UA, is a month
right
too long or too little? Or
I believe part of that timeline was, right now there's only one scheduled UA meeting, March 28th. So I think they want a lot of time to digest it, plus spring break being in there.
Right.
And we thought that it was better to have the report in our hands earlier as opposed to later. As we continue down the...
Also, at the sense that the last meeting, you think there was maybe a President Scorton about, you know, moving the time or not, whatever, he sort of still wanted us to report back in April.
Right.
That he really wanted to keep that time.
Right. So I think as we're going down this process, if something comes up that we really, really need to switch it, I think we can. But right now, I'd rather keep in a... I don't know if anyone else thinks this way. I'd rather keep it earlier to give us more time as far as reviewing, rewriting, asking questions, as opposed to pushing it back later. Yeah.
Although perhaps that report could be preliminary in nature instead of a final report.
Yeah.
That's something that...
That's possible.
If there's not enough time, why rush something?
That's possible.
I mean, like I said, it's been through May that the president's office had it, and we're just getting it. So, you know what I mean? So we got to balance all this out. So
right.
Perhaps a preliminary report from us would be more appropriate than a final report.
That could be possible. Maybe something, once you're starting to see the amount of information you're getting, once you get into the work a little bit more to see how long it's taking you to condense all this stuff. Yes.
Okay. Well, just as a point of information,
yeah.
The minutes aren't here from the last meeting.
Right.
But I listened to the recording of them. And someone at some point inserts the word, I think it's chair, interim, into report.
Okay.
Before that. And I didn't know whether that made it into the minutes or not. That is, that what you were submitting on April 7th is an interim report.
Okay.
If it made it into the minutes, then what we're doing is submitting an interim report to you, an interim report. It may be worth confirming that with the President's office if you feel so inclined.
Okay.
I think part of the wording was that if it's the final report, in my mind, it has to address all of the issues raised by the Krauss report. It's not going to. There's no way it could. Because of that, and it's only going to address certain parts of the Krauss report, then it really isn't a final report. It's a whatever report.
In your resolution, it would be good that it said interim as opposed to a report.
Yeah, I think that's why interim was put in.
If it was.
Yeah, I thought it was, personally.
Okay. Yeah, I think that it was. It wasn't reported and it's done that way, but I do seem to remember the chair inserting it right before. Alternatively, the UA could issue a whole series of reports, even beginning this meeting, if it's true, as you say, that the UA will side with keeping its own authority over the code. There could be a report issued today that, you know, the UA knows now it wants to keep its authority over the code. It's still not sure about the 11 other things. It's going to issue periodic reports about those, too.
Yeah. I think right now, at least in my opinion, it's better to keep just one report. Keep the timeline we're currently on, and any changes in that timeline, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. That's my gut feel.
I mean, technically, I think what you'd want is you'd want the representatives on the UA to be able to report the feelings of their constituencies to the UA, and then have the UA act basically on behalf of all four or five of the constituencies, as opposed to just individuals saying, well, you know, I think the GPSA is going to do this, so let's start ahead with it. We could either act as an independent body, the UA is just the UA, or as a group of representatives of our individual constituencies, and I think it might be better to be the latter in this case. But hopefully we can get the other assemblies to act fairly quickly so that our representatives from those assemblies can report back to us so that we can use that information and also give it to the CJC, or they'll have their own ways to get it.
No, you need to get it. I hope.
Moving on to new business, the first thing we have is civility is a statement that came out of just a couple of discussions people were having. Some people kind of thought that some of the things that were said in the forum meeting last week might have been a little bit unfair, maybe got a little bit on the personal side, and some of the things that were said on email, kind of a little bit unfair, kind of on the personal side. So the executive committee kind of talked about just putting out something saying, while we're having these discussions, while we're doing things along email, however we're doing it, whatever discussions you're having, remember to take the time to respect each other, respect each other's opinions, that especially at an institution of higher learning, that's why we're here, to have different discussions, to have different opinions, and to keep all conversations respectful. On another side note, there was a lot of things sent out via email. While email is a great way to communicate and talk to people and foster some different ideas, also keep in mind that all of our constituencies are not able to see those emails, that the conversations could only be taking place between two or three people and not among the entire community. So just keep that in mind whenever you see emails going out and things being circulated through the email listserv.
Can I ask a point of clarification?
Yes.
We're gathering community input. Your statement just now makes me wonder, how can we know we have community input if we're just taking the word of what say on these blogs as community input? Framing it another way, are you asking for referenda?
No. Just be cognizant of it, I guess. And just be cognizant. That's sometimes easy with using email, electronic means,
so,
to forget there are other people out there.
You're advising us that what we're getting is community input sufficient to your request of us.
Right. Yeah. Use every mean available to gather info. Just be cognizant. Keep that in the back of your mind. Using email, there are other means out there. You need to talk to other people. Not everyone is on the same listserv as you, so you're not getting the full, like a forum, everyone's invited to. Email, everyone's not invited to. Next, the resolution by Randy. Resolution number 4. Randy, if you'd like to explain that and kind of go over your thought process for that.
Yes. So my thought process is that the UA has legislative authority, and I think at this time
it's actually good to bring up Henry's idea of what's legislative authority and what's exclusive legislative authority. And my feeling is that the Krauss report speaks of the UA as having legislative authority. It doesn't say it has legislative authority unless somebody else wants to bypass it and do something. So that the working group seems to have no legislative authority. It's not representative of the university community. And it goes towards the centralization of power at Day Hall, which I frankly haven't seen centralization of power in Day Hall, I don't think has done anything to serve the university well. It's only done things to not serve the university so well. So what I ask for here is that we be allowed to do our job, that we state ourselves that we know that this is our job, that it is our legislative authority to look at the look at the campus code of conduct. And also I ask that we support the memorandum of understanding that the CJC submitted to the working group. This isn't meant to be confrontational to President Scorton. I've said a number of times I'm very hopeful for President Scorton. But I'm not, I'm disappointed that we've had a trend towards centralization at Day Hall instead of a trend towards representational government. And I want to be vigilant in saying, at least I believe that that trend isn't good, and I want to be vigilant to say that this representative body knows that's our job and we want to do it.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing no questions, any points of debate on the resolution?
Randy, how do you view the working group? I mean, I view it somewhat differently, but that's just my opinion. If I was president, particularly a new president, I'd want a working group to advise me. I saw nothing here that indicated that the working group was making decisions, but my impression is that you feel that the working group is going to make decisions. And I didn't think that was it, but maybe I'm wrong. Do you have something?
Yeah, I have a point of clarification that comes out of the minutes that we had with the working group, which is, after all, the only contact, albeit second hand, that the UA has had with the working group. I'd say in each instance, there were several instances where principal members of the working group said, things which led me to believe that they were prior to the response of the UA ready to make a decision about this and felt it was in their purview to do so.
Oh, then I stand corrected. In that case, that's different.
Can you clarify that?
That would be
in what way?
Well, for example, when I was told that the president's charge to Barbara Krauss could constitute a delegation of authority over the code, as opposed to the UA delegation. You follow me? So that it was a not co-opting, but it was taking out of the hands the right of delegating, the right that was delegated to the UA. And then we argued against that, and the working group agreed that that's fine. You will accept that point. My point is not to impugn the future motives of the working group. I'm just saying that as it was constituted, my impression was that it was fully prepared to take on the task of doing this and wanted only input as opposed to concrete action. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't mean you weren't following me because you're, you
yeah.
can't follow me because I wasn't clear.
Leon?
Yeah, I think in addition to inviting the president, I think we also need to invite the working group as well as legal counsel in here to help us understand exactly what role to very clearly define what everybody's role is in this, because to me it's still a little confusing though based on what you do.
No, I'm saying that we've gotten over that bump.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying we've gotten over that bump, and that now what we have is a group which is prepared to accept reasonable responses. Now, I may be...
But I think even in spite of getting over the bump, I do think that we need to talk with the working group regardless. Even if this hadn't come up,
mm-hmm.
I do think we need to talk with them.
Okay.
And legal counsel.
Oh, boy. You mean Professor Mingles?
He'll be on the working group.
Yeah, he's on the
Okay, so he's with the working group.
Let me say, it's my impression if you were following this just by reading the Daily Sun, that you would have a distinct impression that we were the ones who were collecting the information, the CJC in particular, and they were the ones who were going to sift through it and make the final determination. That's the way I learned about the working group was in the Sun. I think we should probably call the Sun reporter and start getting in the Sun, because they seem to always go to the administration. That's the way it looks. And if that's what you just said is true, then that's not a right, that's an incorrect impression to the Sun readers. I'm not saying I'm mm-hmm.
Well, I could be, I've been Buffalo before.
Well, the Sun reporter was different.
I don't mean by the Sun.
Dr. Rosen.
Randy's resolution includes the whereas the President's Court is free to consult with anybody or any group, which would include the working committee, the working group. But I'm wondering why, since the resolution points out that we do have this responsibility, why the working group needs to be mentioned at all? And I'm wondering whether you would regard it as a friendly amendment to simply drop the listing, the clause, and by that action show that we regard it as irrelevant, the working group as irrelevant, since it's simply going to be something that that can advise President Sporting at his behest, but has nothing to do with us. Which is different from your view that you should fire FD with me.
So you're asking for a friendly amendment on dropping the whereas part where they
list. Randy would regard it
right.
as a friendly amendment.
Welcome to your court, Randy.
Yeah. But you're asking to cut the part about with all the names, and then the part that says whereas President Scorton is free to consult that part as well.
No, I'd keep that.
Oh, okay. Just that part. Okay.
Simply the whereas with the list of the names.
Okay.
And it certainly is true that it's not representative, but it could be, it could be fair to say no. I want my own people to give me this advice in some way, which he can do.
Sure. Do you, okay.
Yeah.
So.
Do you okay?
Yeah. Okay.
It's not okay with us. It's okay with you.
But okay, I guess it's up for discussion. Right?
No, it's a friendly amendment. Then you get to. Then if you want to amend it that way, then it's done. If you accept it, then it's that way.
And
if you don't, then he can.
Way.
If you don't want to accept it, then he can submit it as an amendment. We'll go through question debate on the amendment.
That's quite a substantial change. Of course, it isn't for the resolution.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, as the author, it's your decision. So, if you want to accept it, you can. If no...
Can I get advice from my working group? Yeah, I'm happy to do that.
Okay. So, the part where whereas the working group consisting of Susan Murphy, all that is ixnay.
We should write this.
Henry.
A couple of things. One about the Sun reports. What I understood is there was an initial presidential press release about the forming working group, asking for community input, and then the timeline. after a meeting the other day from last week, it was the president commenting on the working group and saying it was not intended to be, you know, a group of commuters. It was intended only to be by administration to look at the report. And, you know, so they cut it. You can tell whoever you wish whether, you know, ultimately it's going to be the president making the decision, not the working group. He goes to the trustees, not the working group. But, I mean, again, getting back to just the, I guess, maybe the core issue is, he's really sort of legislative authority with sort of, you know, what Leon was discussing, and that was sort of my issue about putting this on the agenda is, you know, I don't want to pass resolutions. I want to talk, you know, to the people who actually, you know, are making decisions. And either through the executive committee, through a UN meeting or whatever, you know, have a discussion. And not just sort of, you know, can't propose the issue now. I mean, you know, with my recollection bringing into the transportation issue, that earlier this year, the grad student was talking about the transportation policy that's changed, that, you know, we have not done anything with since then, saying, well, how is that policy done? If, for example, the administration decides they want to ban all freshman parking, you know, next semester, you know, how is that decision made? Shouldn't that decision, if we have legislative authority, shouldn't we be the ones that have to, you know, at least approve this and know about this decision before it's made? And trying to get into that and confront it head on. Maybe people don't want that approach because we may not like what the answer is, but to me, at least, that's a better way of doing things than, you know, having this sort of uncomfortable back and forth, not knowing where we stand. I'd rather know where we stood. And they find, they have liquor. If we share legislative authority with a group of people, because that's the way legal counsel and the president sees it, then we can know about it. If we don't like it, we can go to the trustees meeting in the public forum and discuss it, but instead of then, you know, going a roundabout way to get there. And so that's, you know, sort of my issue. Like, you know, this has been an issue since I joined the assembly, you know, years ago. I mean, when I first started, there was an issue about how the interaction between the UA and the administration and how we always were acting to policies and changes in other areas and never being, you know, consulted, you know, up front. And so I sort of see this as, you know, a perfect opportunity to, on, you know, relatively important issues to sort of establish ourselves and say, look, this is who we are and this is our authority.
I think Katie Whalen, you had a statement or a question.
Just reflecting on that, we always were accepting responsibility relative to the CJC and changes in the code.
Right.
We continue to do that.
Right.
We wish maybe or not that we would receive reports from the religious service or the campus store. There was some comment when those came by. What are we doing telling the campus store how to do marketing? We can't do that.
Yeah, I mean,
so we relinquished that, in a sense.
Well,
we heard the report.
In a sense, of the report, but I'm not sure that we relinquished policy change. Maybe you could sort of say, fine, look, most of the times when they make policy, because that's what we have authority over.
Right.
Change the policy.
Just by hearing the report, we said, yeah, we still have purview here. I know that there's nothing we're doing, but that doesn't mean we still don't have it.
Right. But I mean, again, I did use transportation as sort of the model issue. You know, like I said, the change in the some of the parking issues and everything else this semester. Another thing is where we only hear about things after the fact. And maybe in many areas, you know, no, we're not going to initiate legislative change. But, you know, again, I thought some of the things that we could be using a consultation method where, you know, again, if the university is going to change some of the parking, we could be the ones that, wait a minute, you know, maybe the grad students would say, wait a minute, this affects us more than you think, and have you thought about these issues? And in that kind of way, you know, yes, in many cases, while you see a rubber stamp on transportation, religious works, and everything else, on some issues, it might not be. We might want to know. We might, our consensus may have an impact to say something.
Code of conduct, we never relinquished at all. Because
we were
continually coming back to them.
Right.
So there wasn't a...
Right, but I think until you know, the Krause report came out, until this debate started, yeah, everyone thought that we had, you know, they read legislative authority in that area, and so, even though the language is the same in 1.1 and 1.3.
Yeah.
And so we seem to be saying, well, we see it in 1.3, but we don't see it in 1.1, even though the language is the same. We didn't take any official point where he said, okay, transportation, we have no more control over you.
Yes.
We maybe don't require reports. So I don't think we've changed the charter. We said we have no more legislative authority over transportation. And so I just want to say, let's just, you know, define it in terms of what our role is. And maybe, you know, so that we know exactly where we stand. And in fact, maybe this understanding is that we don't have sole legislative authority even over the Kansas Code, because the president can, again, whenever he wishes, go to the Board of Trustees, and if it's important enough, to change the Kansas Code, you know, without you know, knowledge in the sense.
Yeah.
Any more
questions?
Right, just like to know, okay, well, that's, you know, if legal counsel and the president clearly have that opinion, it'd be nice to know. We can sort of respond and how we wish after knowing where we stand.
Dr. Rosen, I think, had a point.
I just want to second Randy's motion.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
The amended one.
Yeah.
I want to recommend that the request that President Clinton meet with you seems to be a good one. I don't know that the working group is a necessary part to bring here, but the President assessing, if you focus on this issue alone, that is the Kansas Code issue, and just speak with him about that rather than the erosion of, I think you might get some real content out of it. But if you bring the council in to ask whether you have sole legislative authority or whether you have any legislative authority, he's going to ask for specific instances. He's going to say, well, of course you don't, trustees control, and all these things are going to make people really unhappy and angry. But if you speak specifically with the president about this, you'll get a sense of the, as a member of the community, the leader of the one most significant part of the community, I think that's a good result.
Opal?
All right. I completely agree as far as, like, it would be beneficial to bring in President Gordon, not necessarily necessary to bring in the working group. And I do support Randy Terry strong on this, that we need to be vigilant about taking ownership and making sure that it's very clear that we're going to be dealing with this. But I also want to strongly encourage that if the working group is going to be a group that is advising President Ford on recommendations that we're making, I think it would be beneficial to us to be also working in a sense with them, not including them in decision making as far as what we're going to recommend, but have them working on this, that they're very well aware of any decisions that we make that we're going to recommend, that they understand why, that they understand where we're coming from, rather than kind of like the Krauss report where it all of a sudden appears in April and then they're going to give their opinion exactly just from reading it. I think that there needs to be discussion with them, either the CJC discussing with them, just make sure they're along with us throughout the process and understand exactly where we're coming from, that they're not blindsidedly making recommendations and scores that can just reject our recommendations.
Yeah. Of course, they can always come to our meeting. And it was pointed out, I think there's no one here, but they have the trustees now. I guess
it's
the
trustee meeting.
Yeah. So all right. But I mean, I think they'll speak very loudly if they show up to our meetings. Any of them. And some of them have already, and some of them haven't already. And I really feel that's probably, if they want to get an idea of what's happening, the most efficient way for them to get it. And it would be very helpful if they would vote with their feet on this one.
Randy?
Many of the working committee are non-voting members of the UA. So we have to make sure they're in our loop. Somehow they know the meetings.
What I was saying is basically, I mean, we know some of them are on our non-voting members of the University Assembly. Some of them have come, but just to make sure that in addition to, I don't want to put it all on their hands to come to us and make sure to know where we stand, that we're also active in keeping them in the loop and making sure that they're fully aware of where we stand on anything that we decide to recommend.
I agree with Opal, and I don't want to leave it to chance.
Okay.
So are the members of the administration that are non-voting members of the UA, are they on our listserv?
Good question.
And do they get all the emails about when there's a meeting, here's the agenda?
That's a very good question.
Because I feel like there's a lot of
impressions.
Yeah, if not, we'll make sure they are on there, and they will be informed of the meeting. That's a good question.
I feel like there's a good chance that they're not, or they're not going to be, or there's a possibility of some of them that may be making very strong recommendations to President Corn. They're not going to be very proactive about getting in touch with us, because if they were on the listserv and have seen the discussion so far, I feel like that we would have heard more responses from these people that are on the working group.
Marty,
I think they will be made aware of everything that goes on and their participation. They've already said that they will venture opinions as they see fit.
I just feel the more that we work with them, the more likely they're going to be on board with us with the recommendations that we're going to make.
Randy, do you have something else?
That seems totally accurate, but I still think you're talking about the possibility of one meeting together, which might not be very long and might not be very engaging. I feel like a month ago, a lot of people became interested in Crash Report because there was working group that appeared, and the press release said working group will advise, UA will collect feedback. And I feel like a month later, there's still a lot of ambivalence about whether or not Scorton can go to the trustees and say, I want to do X. Take it away from the UA, and if he can do it. And I think Mr. Lord's correct, that seems to be the important question.
It's Leon.
Very informal. I think for a lot of students, that's the question. Is the UA a paperclip? And are they going to literally collect comments and present them? And the working group, and whether or not it's a working group, he's going to form a working group. I'm just going to ask Susan and all like what they think. But can the trustees and the administration totally just bypass the UA? And there still doesn't seem to be any clarity on that.
If we let them.
Yeah, the answer is that without using the bully pulpit, absolutely. It seems totally apparent, even in the campus code of conduct, but that's true. The president makes changes. The UA tells them things. The president does it, but only if he wants. Or the president does it, whether or not the UA wants. That's all apparent to me reading the campus code of conduct, Title 4, Article 9, the sections where it's about AP. So that being the case, that's important to know, back after it first. But that being the case, like, the UA needs to not just collect feedback from the constituency, but organize the constituency. You know, if the president does it, isn't just 6 or 8 or 10 or 21 UA members who have a problem with it, but it's also all the members of the constituent assembly. And, you know, and God forbid the constituent elected trustees should side with the constituents and not the trustees, right? Talk to them, you know. There can be a coalition of people who are supposed to be influential in this university to counter the people who make the decisions in the university.
Any more points of debate?
That's the most important point to me, I think, which is that really, if this is going to work, you all have to represent the constituencies. You don't have to talk to the working group, because the working group knows what it's doing. It's waiting for us to get our deal.
I disagree with that. I think we need to talk with everybody and get as much as possible everybody on the same page, and hopefully they'll be on the page that we're on. So I think in terms of communications, I think you need to communicate with everybody and don't leave it to chance with anybody.
Any more points on? Let's just stay focused on this resolution. Okay. It's really to get off topic. Let's stay focused on the resolution. Points of debate on the resolution. Any more points of debate on the resolution? Okay. I do have one quick point, because there are no other grad students here, I guess, except Michael. Hi, Michael. I am somewhat concerned. I believe that we should be working with a working group, because whether there is a working group entitled or where there's not a working group, President Scorn is going to ask somebody else. And that those will be the people he asks, the people who have more institutional history here at Cornell. For the UA to be relevant, I think we have to work with the administration on this issue. That's just my viewpoint. But, Katie.
I'm kind of going off of what you were saying, and
just I think that, you know, a move by President Scorton to even kind of establish a working group, I think proves that, you know, he is willing to kind of work with UA, and he kind of charged them with working with us as well. And I think that, you know, in doing so, he recognizes that it's important for us to be working with the administration, and he's not just going to get our report and then just give it to them and then get his recommendations from them. It's actually going to be kind of a cooperative effort throughout the whole process. And I think that by creating a working group, he was making kind of that point. So I think that it's important to be working with them as well, not just saying that we can do this separately and then just make our recommendations, because like Jim was saying, he probably will go to them regardless. So.
Well, this is very helpful, but the question then arises for me, and I bring it to the CJC. What are we doing? Are we sort of chopped liver? I mean, the fact is that this job is given to us to gather opinion and do it in respect to the, in relation to the working group. If we want to set up a separate kind of committee of evaluation, the committee as a whole to evaluate the relationship between the UA and the working group and considering the code, then it doesn't seem necessary. This is your point, I think, you raised at the initial meeting, which is why doesn't the UA do it itself? I think you really ought to speak seriously, because it sets up a separate channel of debate and information. Not that I want to possess this whole issue, but I think it's good to be clear. And the clarity is that you set up something, gather opinion in conjunction with the working group. We worked out an arrangement with the working group. Let us work with the working group and without the working group as they and we see fit. Present something to you. I think it's perfectly reasonable to talk with President Scorton about this, but it's reasonable to talk with him about the general issue of what you're doing here in relation to the campus governance system in general. But as far as the code committee is, you already have something. Now don't compromise it by trying to do it yourself. And if you want to do it yourself, and if you decide to do it yourself, then we better quickly know on the TJC, because I, for one, don't want to live in that situation.
We got Henry, then Opal, and Kay.
Okay. Thanks. At the last meeting, when I was talking also about sort of the history of how we got to this point in changing the campus code, I actually went back and looked through those dusty things and found a letter from Richard Helms. And Richard was the chair of the CJC. And I didn't make enough copies, but I'd like to enter it into the whatever record and distribute to everyone to take a look at, because Richard at that point, in September 28, 2004, talked about basically the history of the potential of rewriting the entire campus code. In fact, saying that the CJC probably, you know, can't handle it. They looked at doing it and talked about even some of the reasons why they even looked at doing it, because there was external reviews of the campus code and saying that, you know, that there was a strong recommendation that it be entirely looked at, probably rewritten. In his last paragraph, he talks about such a major project is beyond the traditional scope of our committee. We would like the UA to charge the CJC with delivering recommendations on improved code of conduct by the end of the 2004-2005 academic year. This work will require significant input from the university administration, and therefore we would also like the UA to request President Lehman to express his support for this endeavor and to appoint other appropriate members of the Cornell community to work with us.
Right.
This was, you're on the CC of this. And this is the sort of thing that, you know, I think we're sort of talking about, is that this is beyond the scope of the CJC, and that we needed a big community. In fact, that's how the crowd of what all came to pass.
If you read that last paragraph, you say that it's not beyond the CJC to be able to do it.
Right.
Asking for assistance.
Right.
And that's what we got.
Right. And that's what you got from the Krauss report. I mean,
well, from the Krauss report and from this situation.
Right. But now that we have this very time frame with a complete rewrite of the code, and so I'm just sort of, you know, that we are at this point where we're trying to, you know, do this whole rework of the code within this very tight time frame without being able to look at everything else. Yet we do ask for, you know, significant university input and everything else. So I think we recognize we all have to work together in trying to make these changes, and that we're not just sort of, that we need the administration to sort of help us with
process and everything else. And so I think that we have to look at everything within this kind of context, that it isn't just sort of, you know, again, the cross support didn't drop from the sky, but that we need to use as many resources and find out, you know, where we stand and what's going to be the process.
Ms. Hammer.
I think it's important to remember in these discussions, there's a tendency to think that the CJC is separate from us. We delegated the CJC to operate for us. This is moot. This resolution is moot. The CJC has already made an accommodation with the working group. The CJC is doing our work for us. We have nothing to do now but sit and wait for the CJC to report back to us. They are our committee. They are us. We're talking like they're separate from us. We should be doing something while they're doing something. That's not the point of having a standing committee. We have the standing committees. They do it for us. We can get input. We get reports back from them. But I don't see any reason why we need to have some separate channel, like the UA is somehow separate from the CJC. They're not. The only reason there is a CJC is because we empower the CJC. If we weren't here, there'd be no CJC. So I'm not sure I understand the point. Martin has already reported how the CJC, which we gave the responsibility to last meeting, to operate on our behalf as regards looking at the Krauss report, has already determined how they're going to interact with the working group. So I'm not sure that we need to do anything else. It's already been done. I mean, all of this discussion about is there going to be input, what should we be doing, we should be going back to our constituency, sure, but we shouldn't be doing the work of the CJC that we already delegated the CJC to do. I don't see the point of this.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think that the CJC is analogous to the working group. The CJC advises the UA about what to do. The working group advises the president about what to do. As political entities, the UA and then the president have a relationship that goes beyond this instance and beyond these types of issues, and that may be opened up and have to be hashed out surrounding this particular incident.
Okay. Any more points of debate?
Yeah, on that, I think I abstain for the resolution about giving the power to the CJC. I think the CJC should have the power. I just wanted more conversation, more discussion on it than there was time allowed. And that discussion was to say that, which I put in afterwards, that the CJC should be coming to our meetings so we can discuss what's going on, see, actively say what can we do or give our feelings about what they're doing so we can all touch bases. I think it's a very active input that we have to do between now and March or April.
Marty?
This is about the resolution. I think you folks, I mean, I know about resolutions people go through, whereas this is not appropriate. It's the resolve. I think it would be great if the resolve number two, which is the UA wholeheartedly supports the memorandum of understanding, not submitted to President's Court, but just worked out with the President's Court's working group. In other words, I think it's important to do that with this resolution. I don't think that the whole resolution should be scrapped, but that particular thing is, there's a misnomer there. We didn't submit it literally to President's Court, and we worked it out with the President's Court's working group. Is that friendly amendment?
Yeah. Say that again,
I think that's important because it also points out the fact that the CJC cannot act independently to make deals with anybody unless the UA approves.
Right.
You're not independent of us. So asking us to endorse what you have done in terms of interactions with the working group is certainly appropriate, and I think it's something that we should do. I think you're absolutely right.
The previous, the first resolve, I think the UA is reasonable to debate that. That is, that the UA continue to carry out its legislative responsibility. I mean, I think, you know, you could affirm that in a resolution if you wanted to, but as far as thinking from the CJC, is one of you, thank you very much, That is, I would appreciate it if you had, if you did pass the second one. The first one, it's up for debate for you guys.
So you took that as a friendly amendment to cut the submitted by President Skorton part?
Supports the memorandum of understanding submitted. Oh no, excuse me. Worked out by the CJC and the President Skorton working group.
Sure. Do we need, this is my hobby horse, do we need to mention the working group? Could we not simply say the memorandum of understanding of, and the date, identify it that way? Do you see a strategic point in mentioning, in recognizing in our language the existence of the working group as an official entity rather than as something that...
Okay. So how about, therefore, be it further resolved that the UA wholeheartedly supports the Memorandum of Understanding written on December
5th, 2006? The Memorandum of Understanding approved on... Yeah, we did it this morning, so... this afternoon, the CJC approved it on December 6th.
How about approved by the CJC on December 6th?
6th of December to the 6th of December meeting, edits of the December meeting. But we worked it out on the 5th with the working group.
Okay, so it now reads, therefore, be it further resolved that the UA wholeheartedly supports the Memorandum of Understanding approved by the CJC on December 6, 2006.
Yeah.
It doesn't say who the other party is, right?
No, it doesn't, but because we didn't give it to President Skorton, it doesn't make sense to say that we did.
Marty, I think the main point of the previous, therefore be it resolved, is the point about the independence.
Yeah, I think you guys are talking. I mean, it's your thing to do. I think it's reasonable for you to affirm your independence, but...
Any more points of debate? So we all on board? Everyone have the changes? The two friendly amendments that were accepted by Randy? Seeing no more points, moving on to voting. All in favor of resolution number 4 concerning the crowd support working group, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6. All against? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4. Any abstentions? All righty then. Resolution passes. Wait, all right. I don't think not everybody voted. Yeah, we do have a quorum. I did count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yep, yep. You can't count people that don't vote.
No, I didn't. Katie, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So 21. So we do have a quorum. Not everybody voted.
So how do you have 12 members in your
only have
10
voting?
Vote?
Okay. If you... Yeah, they both voted. I voted. And did you vote, Kate? I missed you. Okay. Okay, let's do this again. If you're for the resolution...
Point of order. The chair only votes if there's a tie to be broken.
Okay. All right,
then. Where's the tie?
There wasn't one.
I shouldn't vote.
If you're for the resolution, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8. Against? 1, 2, 3. Apparently, I need to go back to math class. I know, right? Don't check my GRE score. The resolution passes. Any more orders of new business this evening?
Since we've been talking about gathering information from the district.
different constituencies. I would like us to actually ask, since the Universe Assembly is the umbrella assembly over the others, I'd like each of the others ask to personally ask the other assemblies to submit and then a report as far as feedback on their constituencies of the feelings of the crash report. Because at the meeting last, or at the forum last week, there were definitely members from each of different constituencies from what I heard, and that there are strong feelings from all of them that the assembly submit some sort of feelings as far as the crash report by mid-February for
the CJC
to work with.
Piper, anyone have any questions? Or
I believe a recommendation that was floated at the CJC meeting was also that people go back to their respective groups, be them assemblies or the committees or whatever, and direct them to submit their comments to the blogs online to be part of that dialogue.
I'm
going to
go to anybody and everybody. I'm not going to stay with my constituents.
You know, blogs are great for those of us who have Cornell email addresses, but everyone does not. Mm-hmm. So are there other methods? You know, I mean, for most of us, I know, I would guess that we all have email, but there's a lot of employees on campus that do not have email addresses. So I don't want those folks to be left out.
Okay.
Quick question, clarification. Do you want to go back and ask them to make recommendations to us of it? About the opinions, no, not a full review of their crash report, but like, what are the opinions on the constituencies on the crash report? Like, because I mean, some of them, like student assembly, definitely had a lot of opinions on specific parts of the crash report. I don't want to ask them to go back and review the entire crash report, but what are the specific parts of the crash report that they feel it's important that we pay attention to in our recommendation?
Are you making that in the form of a motion where you want to require that, or are you just asking them to do it because it's nice? All right, I think I would take that.
How would you like to informally write it up and email it to us? And then, as Bob says, we can email it to everybody.
Yeah, I don't think that's too much to ask. That's probably a really good idea. Any more points of business?
Just another suggestion. I know that there's been a lot of feedback in other assemblies about transportation issues and sort of working off of Marty's point and Ellis's point about delegating this process to the CJC. I do think that frees you all up to address some of the other issues that might be queuing up on the agenda, particularly transportation. Also at the beginning of the semester there was some talk about restructuring how the leadership works and what the responsibilities are. So maybe between now and March, when CJC reports in full, this would be a good opportunity to address some of those issues. And you know, there's nothing to keep any of you from coming to the CJC meeting or checking the website to find out what's going on in those meetings and giving your input to the committee outside of this meeting, working with them to make sure the process is running as you wish it to.
Yeah, I think
to cover those who don't have email addresses, what about a mailing to everybody, to the entire Cornell community, from the president's office or from
like a snail mail, like postal?
Well, just distributed in mailboxes, right? To catch anybody who has a mailbox but does not have email. I mean, a one-time thing.
We can bring that up. I don't know feasibility. Yeah, we have to check. We'll check into the feasibility of that. I think that would be the first step, feasibility of that.
Relative to something that Henry said, and it also bears on what Ari raised, and that is that right now we're, in a way, staking a claim to the code and basically our quote, legislative authority. We have the president's, and as a matter of fact, the entire Cornell community's ear in terms of, you know, basically what our, call it, power is. I think that what we should strive for at some time in the very near future, since we sort of have this tone already established, is a reaffirmation from the president and the trustees of exactly what our powers are. Do those parts of the charter that empower us, do they still consider those valid? We're saying that we've made a statement that we don't care what you think. we feel that the code is ours. And in fact, at this instant in time, the reading that I get is that the president is willing to accept that, at least the first part of it. And I think that we should go further while we have his ear and say, well, you know, there are these other areas that we're supposed to have charge of as well. And we are basically being worked around. We either like that or we don't like that. But where do you stand right now on these issues? I think we need to get it out in the open and either, I won't say it, but we need to stop pussyfooting around and make a statement or just do away with those parts of the charter. But I think now might be the time to do it because we're already being assertive. And I think relative to what you're talking about, transportation and the like, my feeling is that a lot of these things the president may not even be aware of in terms of how we feel about these issues. He certainly knows how we feel about the code, okay? But he might not even be aware of this whole issue with Gannett. I mean, maybe he is in the broadest sense, but not in the specifics.
I think two things. One, probably some of us about academic integrity and prior President Lehman. That's not even an area that we have jurisdiction over. But I think we also, as Dean Walcott said, we have the constituent base that seems like we're the logical place. I think we can also, with all this energy about the child support, take another opportunity to expand in an area that we don't have legislative authority over and make, you know, and certainly have, you know, a significant impact. I think that this is, again, a great opportunity for us. I know that, you know, also early on, President Trump was asked by the Assembly to say, oh, how do you want to work with us? And his response was, I don't tell legislative bodies how to do their job. So we can't ask President Clinton, you know, something vague like that, because we already know what he told the student assembly. That we have to sort of say more assertively, this is where we see our authority as that way, and he, you know, he'd be much more respectful and much more sort of, you know, willing to work with us in that manner.
Yeah. I should tell you, I'm buoyed by the fact that I actually have people wanting from the faculty to be on the university assembly. They're anxious to be on the university assembly. So I figure, and the faculty is very up in arms in many ways. Certainly the committee of the university faculty is well aware of the university assembly, and a lot of the members weren't aware of what the university assembly was really there for. So I think it's a really good time to say, hey, you know, we want our power back, if in fact we ever had the power to begin with, or at least really delineate our role in these things and make sure that the administration is willing to allow us to do what we're supposed to do instead of working around us.
It's 6 o'clock, just so you guys know.
Can I just say one comment? Just to, based on, you know, what you're saying about how the essay asked that question, and as the essay lady done, I just want to clarify that a little bit.
Okay.
It wasn't so much that we were asking, I mean, the summer reported very poorly,
right.
The summer reported that
was my
we didn't know what our job was, and
right.
So we were asking, you know, what to do, what kind of legislative body was that? And, you know, that's exactly how the funding is not, so I understand. But I think more of the problem is that as students, when we go to the administration and, you know, we say, well, we need this change, like, we want to do this, you know, we made a resolution for this, a lot of times, the administration doesn't really listen to us very well, if they listen to us at all. It's very difficult. So in terms of us asking that question, is kind of, we wanted to get a sense of how willing President Ford would be to work with us, and whether we could foresee any changes in the administration, and kind of get a better sense of what he's our purview was and what we were able to do. So I think that in talking to President Ford, that, you know, if, you know, that's the route that we choose to go down, and, you know, kind of ask him, well, you know, what should we really have power over in our charter, we should frame it as more as, well, we should decide ahead of time, like, well, we really want power on, you know, these things. You know, how do you feel about that, just to be sure that there's one thing that we're, like, and rather, I would rather us that with our time, and be like, well, we really want to talk about this, if he's going to be like, there's no way I'm going to listen to you no matter what you say, which hopefully he won't say about anything, but, you know, if we had that, that's
when I think we push
on
with something. All right, you get a statement real quick?
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe when you call for agenda items,
we can look through the things that we do have legislative authority on, or don't, maybe, like academic integrity, but we'd like to. And by the people that are at least submitting agenda items, we can say, these are the things we want to make a point of. And the things that go by the boards, okay, we can let those go by the boards, or say, let's not let them go by the boards, let's hold on to them some way. But let's all present the agenda items that we would like to see for the January meeting so we can talk about this. Especially if President Scoton comes to that meeting, it'd be a wonderful agenda to mix around with him.
Katie?
I was just going to say, kind of going along with Kate and Henry were talking about, I completely agree in just setting out where we see our own legislative power before acting, especially on the transportation question, if that's something that we might be picking up, kind of, you know, while CJC is dealing with the campus code of conduct, you know, because transportation, regardless, we're not going to have complete jurisdiction over transportation here. I mean, even if we would like to, you know, for the, you know, benefit of our constituencies, we're not going to because it's the second revenue of the university. So it's, you know, we just need to kind of outline what exactly it is, how we see it before we actually go into it. And that's something maybe we should work on ahead of time with regards to the transportation issue.
What's the second biggest?
It's the second largest generator of revenue.
What's the first tuition?
They write about 50,000.
An overhead?
What?
An overhead?
They write 50,000 tickets.
What generation?
I believe it's generation.
Oh,
yeah,
generation.
Any more thoughts, questions, concerns?
Does that include on that something that Tom that was brought up last year by Randy was also campus safety that we might want to also look into, including our things that we talked about possibly having jurisdiction over, the things that Jim, Laura, and Randy were working on last
month. Yeah, some of the reason I'm so passionate about some of this issue, some of these issues, is it comes directly to campus safety. And on the record, I don't feel that the past administration has put either the rights of the victims or the rights of the perpetrators above keeping things hush. And that's right from the inside of me, the passion that a lot of this comes from. Yeah, so I think campus safety is absolutely tied up with the Cross Report, and for that reason, I really want to make sure that the UA has addressed all the way through.
I just wanted to make sure that we, as groups, not drop what Randy, Jim, and Laura worked on so far last semester.
If there are no more comments, that's all we've got on the agenda, so the meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everyone.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.